Jim Dearman.
We've heard a lot of talk over the years about family values, and certainly they are important. The family is very important to God. It is a vital institution. God established the home, and the word family should have a very special meaning to us. Today we're going to take the word family and analyze its meaning. We're going to let each letter in the word represent something very important, crucial, and vital to the biblical concept of family. The ingredients in the family, if you will. Family should inherently mean Christian, but we know that every family is not a Christian family. Ideally, that would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? But many have abandoned the Christian concept of family, and family has been redefined. But we need to be concerned about God's definition of the family, about what He has to say about it. The letter F in family, should remind us of the father, the spiritual head of the family, the head of the wife being in subjection to him as God defines subjection. The father in the home needs to be concerned about the Father in heaven and about guiding his family in such a way as to please God. The father in the home must love the Heavenly Father and lead his family to love God the Father. Moses admonished in Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Love for God is to begin with the father, though the mother is involved, certainly. Parental responsibility is to teach the love of God and His commandments to the children. And that teaching is to be an ongoing process that takes place at all times. Parents should live the Word of God before the children and guide every family member in the way he should go. Joshua, who succeeded Moses as the leader of God's people, made a statement about his family as he stood before the people of God and set before them a challenge in Joshua 24:15. He said, "If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, how could Joshua speak for his family? As the father, he had guided and taught his family in such a way that he could confidently make that great statement for his entire household. The father of the family is to point every other family member to the Heavenly Father. You remember in John 14:8, Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Borrowing Philip's words, "show us the Father," we would say to the fathers of families everywhere, "Show us the Father." Yes, show us the Father in the way you feed your family, not only in the physical sense, but spiritually, as an example of faithfulness to God and His Word. Show us the Father in the fear you demand from your children, not dread or terror, but the reverential fear, the honor and reverential respect and awe your family has for you because you deserve it. You've earned it by the life you live. Show us the Father in the favor you distribute to every family member and to every child equally, showing no favoritism. You remember Jacob, who became a great man of God. He was a human being. He had faults and shortcomings and sins like everyone else. And the favoritism he showed to Joseph, the youngest of his sons, certainly did not serve Joseph well because it caused a great deal of jealousy from his brothers, though there was no excuse for their attitude in seeking to destroy their own brother. But they saw their father's favoritism toward him. They became jealous of him. And so to earthly fathers, we say, show us the Father in the favor that you distribute equally to all your children. Love them all equally. Earthly fathers, show us the Father by the firmness of your discipline. You know, discipline is an important part of a father's responsibility to his family. It is to be a loving discipline, but it is to be a firm discipline. a discipline based upon the highest form of love one can manifest for his children and his family. It's the agape love, a love based upon the value of the one who is loved, a love that seeks only the best for the one who is loved. And finally, we would say to fathers, show us the Father by the fruit of the Spirit manifested or shown in your life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and all of those wonderful attributes that we read about in God's Word. You see, fathers, you're the spiritual heads of your households. That's your responsibility. The way you live and guide your family will have much to do with the family's success in God's sight. Part of a poem from a father to a son reads, "To you, O son of mine, I cannot give a vast estate of wide and fertile lands, but I can keep for you, the whilst I live, unstained hands." You see, fathers, you have a grave responsibility, but you have an exciting challenge. Meet that challenge by being the kind of father God would have you be as the head of your family. Now let's move to the letter A in the word family that we're looking at. The A of the word family would represent authority. Yes, there must be authority and respect for authority in the family. Certainly a standard must be set if the family is to function as God would desire. Young people in the home need, deserve, and want direction. They want a standard to follow. And what better standard than the Word of God? In fact, there is no other standard we should be following other than what is revealed to us on the pages of the New Testament, the final will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the standard we must follow if we are to be successful in God's sight and ultimately guide the family to heaven. Parents must direct children to God's Word as the standard of authority. There's a simple chain of authority we need to recognize and apply in our lives as family members. Authority inheres in God. That's the first link in the chain. You see, God did not receive His authority from anyone. God is authority. But we see that God gave all authority to Jesus Christ as He came to earth to live among men. In Matthew 28, 18 and 19, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then He commissioned the apostles, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You see, Christ has all authority, and He gave all authority to the apostles. They were to go and to teach. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down, to deliver forevermore, the deposit of authority finally seen in the New Testament. So the chain has these links. God, the head of that chain, has inherent authority. He gave Christ all authority, and Christ in turn gave that authority to the apostles. And they, by the Holy Spirit, deposited for us, along with other inspired writers of the New Testament, the last will and testament of Christ. That is our standard of authority today. The family must function according to an understanding of that authority, based upon the precepts of God's Word. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, the Word of God directs the parent-child relationship. "Children are told, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." And then to fathers, the admonition from the inspired penman is, "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." The authority for the husband-wife relationship is seen in another passage in Ephesians, verses 22 through 25 of chapter 5. "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." And so, Paul says, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then husbands are admonished to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. You see, these family relationships are governed, or should be governed, by the standard given to us by God in His Word, the final link in the chain. His Word supplies us with all we need, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Authority is absolutely essential to the proper functioning of the family. But the M, as we move forward in our word family, the letter M would have to represent mother, wouldn't it? Her role cannot be overstated. Proverbs 31, 10 through 17 gives a wonderful description of the godly wife and mother who is concerned about her children and about her husband. The New Testament also has something to say about the godly woman and the kind of activities in which she will be engaged. In Titus 2, 3-5, we read that the aged women, likewise, they should be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. If we want to prevent the Word of God from being blasphemed or spoken evil of, then mothers must be pleasing to God, discreet, chaste, pure, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. You see, these are descriptions of the godly woman who has such an important role to play in the home, in the family. It has been said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The mother is to guide the household, not as the head of the house, but within her God-given role. She recognizes the importance of that role and the responsibility she has as a godly wife and mother, an absolutely crucial part of the family who is at the very center of the home. Now, next time, the Lord willing, we're going to continue this study of family and look at some other important aspects that will bring together the full meaning and the biblical concept of what a family should be to please God and to bring our homes, to bring to our homes joy and happiness and contentment and success in the right sense of the word.